If you were unable to attend this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, we have good news for you. We produced an audio DVD of the conference. The recording contains all of the speakers' presentations, my Divine Service sermon, and the hymn sing. We'll send you the audio DVD for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. Click the audio DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can also order by check. Make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Order your audio DVD of the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We would need criteria.
Yeah, clear criteria.
For what makes something
usable or not.
Okay.
Right.
And even if you have pictures, because I think some of it is visual, at least at this level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because this is going to be naked eye determination, and so those kinds of things of what you're looking for, obviously. I know I've seen livers, I've seen stomachs, I've seen plenty of neural tissue. We usually, you can see the whole brain usually come out.
That is a conversation from the fourth Planned Parenthood video that was released earlier today, a conversation between an abortion clinic worker, actually the head doctor at a Denver abortion clinic, does 10,000 abortions a year, if I'm not mistaken, discussing what she sees when she performs an abortion and how what she sees can turn a profit for Planned Parenthood. They make a little extra money for Planned Parenthood. The fourth of videos that are showing and demonstrating beyond all refutation that Planned Parenthood has been in the business of selling the parts of babies it aborts, and the numbers of the abortions and the numbers of the money are really irrelevant at this point. What we're talking about here is the horror of abortion being piled on top of the horror of a profit motive, which most people suspected was true all along. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon. It's the 30th of July. Scott Klusendorf is going to join us here to talk about the two most recent videos of Planned Parenthood officials selling the body parts of aborted children and showing those body parts as well. In the next half hour of the program, Dr. Lucas Woodford will join us. We'll talk about sexual fidelity in the family, in the parish, and then Wesley Smith will join us from the Discovery Institute. He has written a recent column for National Review Online titled, Why Killing Cecil the Lion Was So Wrong. We'll talk about animal rights versus animal welfare and the killing of Cecil the Lion. Then we'll do some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday afternoon. You can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or beloved on-demand listeners can always use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the two most recent videos of Planned Parenthood officials selling the body parts of aborted children, Scott Klusendorf, a regular guest, president of Life Training Institute and author of the book The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back.
Todd, always good to be with you.
The settings of the first two videos were dinner, lunch, casual conversation over a meal, discussing in detail the things that happened during and after an abortion at Planned Parenthood. What changed with the third and fourth videos?
Well, the change that occurred was we moved from dinner right into the clinic where the children are being killed, and the focus shifted from the Planned Parenthood executives and doctors to the actual victims of abortion. And that was a very good thing for the American public to see. And it coincided with two op-ed pieces in both the New York Times and Washington Post over the weekend, one by Charles Krauthammer in the Washington Post that said, we need to shift the debate from the facilitator, meaning Planned Parenthood, to the actual victims of abortion. And this is coming from a guy who is at best marginally pro-life, but he's saying, look, we need to see abortion for what it is. The New York Times followed up the next day with an op-ed piece arguing that maybe we haven't really been willing to look at abortion and we ought to look at it. And these newest videos are doing just that. I mean, think about this, Todd. If you had told me And I suppose if someone had told you a year ago that Fox News would run nationally graphic abortion pictures on its TV show and do it for a series of evenings and even dedicate a one-hour special to it, I think both of us would have had our jaws drop. But that's precisely what's happening. It is becoming tougher to cover up the horror of abortion, and this has to be uncovered if we're going to win this fight.
So that has really been one of the things that is debated often among pro-lifers. Sometimes it's simply, I know what an abortion does. I don't have to see the graphic images. And I completely understand that sentiment there. But somebody has to see what happens
Yeah, exactly. Every social reform movement that's been successful in the last 150 years has used graphic imagery to convey truths that words alone cannot convey. If you look at how American and British missionaries in the Congo at the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s, smuggled out crude photographs of children that King Leopold II of Belgium had exploited by cutting off their hands and legs because they didn't gather enough rubber for his insurgent troops. And those photographs went viral in the pre-viral age all over Europe. And pretty soon, Leopold was out of business because of images. If you look at what happened with slaves here in the U.S. with crude black and white photographs of Africans beaten on the back, these photographs conveyed truths that words simply couldn't. Then you move to the civil rights era in our lifetimes, and you saw pictures of black men being lynched. You saw graphic photos of Emmett Till, the 14-year-old African-American boy that was beaten by two racists simply because he smiled and mildly flirted with a white woman. These graphic, horrible pictures did what no talking could ever do, and the same is true with abortion. A colleague of mine puts it real well, Father Frank Pavone. He says, America will tolerate abortion as long as it never has to see abortion, and I completely agree.
There's been a little bit of kickback from people who say, look, we can't just reduce this to the images because it won't create any converts. I completely disagree. What about you?
Oh, I do too, and they're actually making a straw man argument there because we're not saying use pictures in place of good arguments. We're saying use pictures as valuable adjuncts to good arguments. For example, when Life Training Institute goes out to speak at Catholic and Protestant high schools, and we've been in several Lutheran schools in your neck of the woods there, Todd, we show images, not as a substitute for good arguments. We bring it when it comes to making the scientific case for the humanity of the unborn and the philosophical case for their value. We don't shy away from facts and arguments, but we recognize that pictures change how people feel about abortion. Facts and arguments change how they think, and both are vital for changing behavior.
How do you sort this out? Because the focus of the videos, the first two videos, were really the financial transactions and what we were really talking about in graphic terms, but not pictures. All right. The focus of the second two videos have added the pictures with the crass negotiation for the body parts here. The case that needs to be made politically and legally with our lawmakers probably has to rest, at least on the face of it, with the illegality of what was going on here. But at the same time, they have to, these men on Capitol Hill and women have to see what it is was being sold.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that politically, sometimes you have to work incrementally to get something done that needs to be done. No issue with that, provided you're not compromising your principles in the course of doing so. But what needs to be understood by the American public and by our politicians is that what makes trafficking fetal parts so egregiously wrong is that we are intentionally killing innocent human beings and then exploiting their body parts for our own profits. This is sick stuff, and it's funny how people who may not respond to abortion on the face of it, when they see this and hear about this, they're appalled by it. This happened Todd, during the partial birth abortion debate in the 1990s, there were Americans who, for the first time, took a look at late trimester abortion. They had never seen abortion, and simple line drawings of the procedure drew them into a discussion about abortion, and it moved public opinion away from supporting late trimester abortion. That was a good thing. It was an educational moment, and we are in the midst of another one right now.
Well, speaking of educational moments, Scott, you have quite rightly and repeatedly said that what we need to do here, in the midst of all that's happening and unfolding before us, keep our focus on the victims of abortion, keep our focus on who the unborn is. Now, what I wonder is your kind of assessment of how Planned Parenthood has been responding to this. It seems as though the one thing that they will not discuss, they'll talk about money, laws, clinics they worked with. They will not talk about the children.
No, they won't. And what they're trying to do, their PR right now, is to say, look, we're doing all kinds of good things. You're denying women health care, you pro-lifers. We do ultrasounds. We do breast exams. We help women screening of cancer. This is all a bunch of nonsense. First of all, good deeds do not atone for bad ones. If the KKK starts giving minority women free medical care, that does not make the KKK a benevolent organization. But beyond that, Planned Parenthood is lying about its alleged good deeds. Look, here's what their own report says, not my numbers. This is their report. Over 94% of the services they offered to pregnant women were to kill their unborn children. I'm sorry, but when those numbers stack up against you that way, you're not really in healthcare. You're in the abortion business.
Is that the thing that is really dawning upon everyone? Now, the officials of Planned Parenthood knew this all along, but the rest of the people who were kind of saying, well, Planned Parenthood, I don't know if I really like the abortion idea, but golly, you know, aren't they such a great organization when it comes to women's health? Is that what's dawning on everybody now?
I think so, and it's good. Look, make no mistake, Todd, Planned Parenthood needs to be debunked, and they need to be defunded. No doubt about that. But as you said a moment ago, while we're in the process of doing that, it's vitally important we keep focused on what the nature of Planned Parenthood is. This is not a health care organization. This is an abortion organization. And we can look at their own numbers to see that. And now with the visuals coming into play, the American public is being reached with the truth at a very visceral level. And this is why, Todd, pictures are so, so important. And I cringe when I hear pro-lifers say things like, well, we don't want to show those pictures. We don't want to upset people. You know what? I'm done worrying about the feelings of the born when the lives of the unborn are being taken. And we have got to be willing to get these pictures out there, and I'm so glad people like Fox News are doing it. Now let's see our churches step up and do it.
Scott Klusendorf is our guest. He'll be with us for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about the two most recent videos of Planned Parenthood officials selling the body parts of aborted children. He's president of Life Training Institute and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. We'll be right back.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With a simply classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. classicalspecialneeds.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesztc.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Scott Klusendorf is our guest, president of Life Training Institute. We're talking about the two most recent videos of Planned Parenthood officials selling the body parts of aborted children. Let's deal with some of the more subtle, I wouldn't call them objections. I think, let's just call it the queasiness of even pro-lifers on this, who say, look, I know what it is. I don't have to see it to object to it. And I don't want to see it. Someone who says, look, I can't look. I can't watch that stuff. What would you say to them, Scott?
Well, in our public presentations at LTI, we always disclose the content, and we invite people to look away who don't want to look. The vast majority of people do look. But here's what I would say. Even to pro-lifers who think that they don't need to see these pictures, I was one of those pro-lifers, Todd, and if I can just take a second here to tell you my own story. When I was 30 years old, I was an associate minister at a church in Southern California, and I had always been pro-life, but I wasn't acting like it. I did very little beyond go to the annual banquet for the pregnancy center and give an obligatory $100. Beyond that, that was about it. And I went to a presentation for pastors on the pro-life issue in November of 1990, where there were supposed to be at least 100 of us present because our pastors' gatherings always had a good turnout. I showed up and recognized only four other pastors there, and the group that day probably was less than a dozen people in total. And thankfully, the speaker, Greg Cunningham, former member of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, and the guy who had written the bill that was litigated in the Supreme Court decision known as Thornburg, that guy stood up and spoke on abortion and gave a very persuasive apologetic for the pro-life view. And I thought, man, this guy's great. He's intelligent. I like him. He doesn't hurt the brain to listen to. But then, Todd, he showed pictures. He showed an 8-minute VHS tape with horrible imagery that made you cry. And I sat there weeping, thinking, I am no different than the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan, who, though they probably felt pity for the beating victim, didn't act like they felt pity, and Christ castigated them. What moved me to that point of repentance and activism on the case of this issue? I'm going to tell you right now, it was the pictures. No pictures, no Scott Klusendorf as a full-time pro-life apologist. The late, great Father John Newhouse of First Things made the observation that those of us who work full-time in the pro-life field were summoned into it. That day was my summoning, and the way the Lord did it was through images.
So, what's the goal here? I mean, obviously, the politicians have their goal set before them. They're being petitioned to defund Planned Parenthood. That doesn't solve the problem, obviously. There are legal strictures in place in the United States that makes what Planned Parenthood does when it's not selling baby body parts perfectly legal. What's the goal here?
Well, the goal is twofold. It is to limit the evil done insofar as possible, given current political realities, and defunding Planned Parenthood a little or a lot or in total will indeed save lives. They get an awful lot of money that allows them to market their services to more women, especially in poorer communities, and defunding them is a big deal. But here's the thing. It's not enough to just work behind the scenes to strip a little funding. What we have to do, and what we are doing at the moment, is we are educating the public. Events are things that come up that we didn't expect them to happen, but they happen, and when they do, we need to be prepared to respond accordingly. If you just look at public opinion on abortion, Todd, over the last 40 years, there's not been a lot of shift, especially on early abortion. When events like this happen, or when you look at what happened in the 90s with partial birth abortion, you see events that not only come into the public consciousness, they change public thinking and behavior. And the most important thing we can do right now is focus this debate on the question, what does abortion kill? And I got to give my hat to the guys doing these videos. They are very smart in keeping this in front of the public mind. And I'm hopeful that the rest of the videos that are going to come out, I'm told there's up to another 9 more, will make that same point.
Now, is there also a value in, and I'm thinking here about the PR campaign that Planned Parenthood has waged even before these videos, to present itself as the organization that really truly cares about women? Is there also a value in swaying public opinion about that organization and others like it, so that a woman who says, you know, if I walk in there, they are not interested in me, that they want to exploit me and my fear or my willingness to have an abortion? Is that a valuable short-term goal here?
It's absolutely fine to make that point as your secondary messaging, and absolutely disastrous to make it your primary messaging.
Why is that?
Look, abortion is not wrong because it harms women or gives them cruddy medical care. It's principally wrong because it intentionally kills an innocent human being. And as soon as we take the focus off of that as our primary messaging and put it more in the subjective realm of how women respond to the health care they're given, we are playing on the other side's playing field. Look, the fastest refutation to a sign that reads, I regret my abortion, is one that reads, I don't regret mine. Now we've got dueling subjective experiences going after each other, and the public goes, yawn, next. However, if while we're making our case that elective abortion intentionally takes the life of an innocent human being, and then we explain to people, oh, by the way, there are personal side effects to this. There are personal things that happen to women who have abortions, and you should be aware of it. That's a very good thing for us to convey. But I worry when some pro-life leaders want to de-emphasize the pictures, de-emphasize the unborn, and talk more about how abortion impacts women. As primary messaging goes, that should not be the path we take.
Is that also the value of the images, in that, and I don't mean this as a pun in any sense, it literally puts flesh and bone on the unborn.
Absolutely. And what it does is it reawakens in people their moral intuitions. Jay Budiszewski, Christian philosopher at the University of Texas, Austin, says secular man can be likened to a guy sitting in a hot tub trying to suppress 24 corks. Well, you can imagine what that might be like. What's happening to those corks all around him? Well, they're popping up all over. And Jay's point is Christians need to be in the business of making it very difficult for people to submerge those corks. And when images come to the forefront, people's moral intuitions are reawakened in a way that words alone will never do.
Do we have to also be willing to point out, I guess I would call it the campaign of distraction, while we're saying, look, let's keep ourselves, the pro-lifers, focused on who is the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to at the same time say, by the way, that argument there, that distracts from who the unborn is. That argument over there, nothing but a distraction from, yeah, from who the unborn is.
Absolutely. It's called narrating the debate. It's where when somebody makes a comment, we say, can I just make an observation? I just gave you an argument pointing out that we know from science the unborn are human. We know from philosophy that there's no relevant difference between the embryo you were and the adult you are today that justifies killing you back then. You didn't answer my argument. Instead, you attacked me personally by saying I hate women and don't want them to have quality health care. Can I just make the observation that at best you painted me as a terrible person, but you did nothing to refute the argument I just gave? That kind of narration has to happen in the public square. And if we don't do that, we're going to have ourselves chasing, we're going to find ourselves chasing rabbit trails all over the place.
It seems that the pro-life movement has often been on the defensive. Have these videos given us an opportunity to play offense?
Oh, I think so. If you look at social media, you look at Twitter, you look at what's going on in Facebook, a lot of people that were shy on this issue, at least even on my page, they are coming out of the woodwork, people I never thought would comment on this subject. It's a great time for people to step up and do something. It's a great time for them to get educated on the issue, read some good pro-life apologetics books, get out there and visit a site like ours and learn how you can make a case for the pro-life view.
Scott Klusendorf is a regular guest here on the program, and thank God he is. He is president of Life Training Institute, author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. You'll find a link to this book and Life Training Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Scott, thank you so much. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to all our future conversations.
Thank you, Todd. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Lucas Woodford. He has written recently on sexual fidelity, both in the home, in the family, in the parish, an article that he's written titled From Generation to Generation, Honoring Sexual Virtue in Families and Parishes. We'll talk with him about that on the other side of the break on this Thursday afternoon, July the 30th. Wesley Smith will join us after that. We'll talk animal rights, animal welfare, and the killing of Cecil the lion. Then it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll be right back. You can call.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.